And you're listening to Espejos de Aztlán. This afternoon we are in a panel. We are talking with leaders of New Mexico. And in this case, we are having Amy Whitfield from the YWCA New Mexico chapter, Dr. Ruth Trinidad Galván from the University of New Mexico, and Pamela Herdon, Southwest Women's Law Center. And we were talking about our main concerns, and I'm sure we have more in our list. But these days, since all this administration began, it's like each day, every day, I get up reading the news and concerned about what's going on and what's going to happen again in our lives. And I have that kind of alert feeling in my body. And we are commemorating Women's Day, and it's a sad way of commemorating, but at the same time, there is this feeling that more people than usual are standing up. What are the main steps of action that you believe that can be more powerful? Whoever is listening there, many times when we highlight some issues, they say, well, what can we do? Can you share your thoughts and your strategies with our listeners today?
So I'll start again. This is Pamela Herndon with the Southwest Women's Law Center. So the first three things that I focused on was women's fair pay, equal pay, as a part of my conversation in the beginning, access to quality, affordable health care, and then protecting women's reproductive justice. And so what we must do as women is, first of all of these town halls that are going on around the state right now, with our legislators being home from the federal congressional districts, to go there and voice your opinions. Do that loud and say, you know what? We don't want you to make these changes that will affect our lives. We want you there to protect us. The other thing that we tell women to do on a regular basis is you must vote, ladies. So that's the second thing that you do. So we have this scorecard for women's equality that we pass out at the Southwest Women's Law Center. And we tell every woman, I don't care what office somebody's running for, you go down that list. And if those items are not in your best interest, then that's not the person that you want to vote for. And then finally, the last thing that we ask you to do is to write letters and make phone calls. Like right now, before Congress, coming up in the next couple of weeks, is going to be a repeal of the Affordable Care Act, some aspect of it. You jam those phone lines, you write letters, and you say, don't make those changes to the effect that they're going to affect my health care. So that's our strategy in a nutshell.
Well, that's a very powerful one. Yes. And in your case, Amy Whitfield from the YWCA New Mexico chapter, what are you for in this kind of fight? We are all together, each one with some particular concerns, but we need to unite ourselves to make it happen.
Well, and I think that right there is the key, is uniting ourselves, right? Because each of us has some sort of power that we can use in different moments. And when we're seeing something happening to our community and to individuals in our community, then really standing up and being an ally for that is important. You know, when you talk about writing letters and showing up at town halls, those are something that some of us can do and others can't. And so if you're someone who can do it, then stand there and be the voice for those who aren't able to. One of the things is that we're talking about A Day Without Women this Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it has been something that we at the YWCA have really had a lot of conversations about, because we're a 100% women organization. All the staff who work there are women. And so if we were to say A Day Without the Women with the YWCA would actually close us down for a day. And what a huge visual representation of what it means to not have women around. Except at the same time, the things that we serve, homelessness, hunger, those don't go away mm-hmm. on that day. And so we have decided to stay open for business that day. And we really encourage people, if you are someone who can take the day off and not go to work, you have that kind of a privilege. So use that day to really empower other people, because there are many women who taking a day off from work means no food on the table. It means, you know, sick leave without pay, as we were talking about earlier. And so we really ask for people to be, you know, be a part of the movement, be an ally in the movement, and stand up where you have privilege. Just participate how you can. But understand that not everyone has the ability to participate participate. And I think sometimes when these movements get very large, shaming starts to happen because we want everyone to be active and we want them to be active in the way that's been prescribed. And so participate, but also make sure that you're using your privilege and understanding that others may not have that.
Yeah, shame is not an advisable tool. I really agree with that. It's not worthy at all. Mm-hmm. It can be a counter tool. And Ruth Trinidad Galván from the University of New Mexico, last week you were lecturing about this femicide in Mexico, but we can talk about that issue all over the world. But particularly you were focusing on some kind of pedagogy that comes from Latin American masters that can be also a tool for us. Can you share with us your thoughts about that? How can help those tools brought by in underdeveloped countries? And all of a sudden, we are going back to these thinkers and activists from the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. How is this?
Well, I think firstly, because there's a huge need. You've said it already. We are living in a much more hostile environment. And so that really requires that we take back our public spaces, that we take back the streets, and that we produce a counter narrative. I think that that's the most important thing that we need to take away. In producing a counter narrative, we don't just extend or provide a different perspective or knowledge. We really ask for action and transformation. And so I think if we think of the work of Paulo Freire in Pedagogy of the Oppressed, again, the idea of starting with kind of organically from what the needs are of communities, of women, of families, then if we start from there, then we begin to take on specific issues like the ones we've been talking about here today. And in taking those on, I think we can produce then ideas and a critical consciousness that gets us to the point of action, of praxis. And the one that I presented at my presentation the other day was specifically thinking about public pedagogies. And by that, I mean is even extending Freire's idea that we should be tackling on particular issues. But I think also moving away, like we traditionally do in higher education, outside of the classroom, and thinking about the ways in which we can engage communities, we can engage the public. Again, much more on a personal and, if you will, hands-on way of, you know, again, I think the idea of town hall meetings, of teach-ins are some of those examples, I think.
This is a solidarity that we have to build, not only it's among women, is something wider than that.
It is.
Because usually we talk about women and it's like, oh, we are the only ones victims of this, and we are the only ones who have to fight for this. And like men are in another side, and this is not black and white, isn't it? So what do you think about this moment that can be like a momentum for an action that can be more social, more community involved?
You know, in most cultures, the woman is the center of the family and the center of the movement, even in communities. So as we move together as women to raise up the protections that we're looking for ourselves, we will be taking along the men who are there standing beside us, our children who are with us. So it does become a community effort. So it's not just women out there alone. It's us together bringing the community together, because that's what we as women do. We bring the community together to make the changes and protections that we need.
Oh, absolutely. I think, right, anytime a woman is involved, she really has a community identity more often than anything else. I think very often we really try to encourage men to get into the movement and to be a part of the movement. And I think at this point, I'm actually saying no. Not that I want to kick men out of the movement or anything like that, but I think that women are extremely powerful and that we have we have all along invited men in. And one of the things that has happened is that men's issues or their thoughts about the issues aren't similar to what women's thoughts are about the issues. And then arguments, or maybe not even arguments, but we try to hold space for men, and they don't necessarily hold that space for us if it's outside the women's movement. So I think that women are powerful enough to get the movement moving and to get our demands met without necessarily creating a huge space for men to join in. Not that we're excluding them in any kind of way, but definitely I want for women and this energy that's happening right now, I want for that movement to really be focused on, are we making sure that all women are included in this movement, rather than focusing on whether or not we're including men? I want to know, are immigrant women being included? I want to know if women of all races are being included. I want to know that when we have marches and things like that, are they being accessible for women with disabilities? And I want way more energy to be spent on making sure that every single woman is part of the movement, rather than saying, hey, we got to make space for men.
How do you imagine us and our daughters and our youngsters and our children in, let's say, 10 years?
In 10 years, I don't know. I mean, there's been huge progress since.
Right? Imagine your ideal.
Yeah. I think in my ideal, I have a niece who just turned 21, and I would hope that in 10 years, people don't treat her the way at 31 that they treated me at 31, right? So that conversations would be about her as a whole person, not conversations about her womb or her married life or, did you become a social worker just because you're a woman or things like that? I'd like people to really look at all women as holistic human beings.
Well, as a mother of three daughters, Xiomara, Ana Yancy, and Nemilitzli, who are, you know, young women who've had to already, right, confront the different issues that I think we as women confront. I mean, my hope for the future is that not only that they will have all of the opportunities that we hope any person in all of their wholeness has, but that I think that they will continue to see the need to continue the struggle, whatever struggle that is. I mean, we see so many right now we're seeing so many issues out there, water and land rights, like the Standing Rock. I mean, there's just so many things to be thinking about that it's hard to pinpoint only one, right? And so my hope is that those issues would diminish so that young women will be able to think about many other ways, right, to empower themselves than to consistently be struggling with the social issues that seem to be
our fate.
Yes.
Familia, how do you imagine, just let's say 10 years, I just thought to go further, but I thought let's go 10 years ahead. How do you imagine this situation we are talking about? Are we going to talk the same issues in 10 years?
You know, they said that 44 years ago when Roe v. Wade was decided that we were not going to have that discussion anymore. And here we are 44 years later having it. So I will truly tell you that 10 years from now, I'm expecting this conversation not to be the same. I think that this has been an awakening for women and mm-hmm. this administration to say, you know, the time is now to stop this from going on any further. And that's what I really like about what I see with the Women's March that happened with 10,000 women in little bitty Santa Fe. And then you look at the 6,000 that made it here in Albuquerque. So I believe that in 10 years, that's what I imagine, that we're not going to have this conversation. We will say it stopped in 2017.
Thank you so much, Pamela Herndon from the Southwest Women's Law Center, Amy Whitfield from the YWCA New Mexico chapter, and Ruth Trinidad Garván from the University of New Mexico for joining us in this panel today. And Feliz Día de la Mujer. Happy, may say that. Happy Women's Day for this March the 8th. And we'll march together, I guess, many times.
Yes.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias a ustedes.
Thank you. Las niñas y
And you were listening, this last song was from Las Cafeteras Mujer Soy, and we are commemorating International Women's Day. And I want to thank especially the panel, the guests that we had during our Espejos de Aztlán today. Amy Whitfield from the YWCA New Mexico chapter, she's the president. Pamelia Herdon from the Southwest Women's Law Center, she's the executive director. And Dr. Ruth Trinidad Galván from the College of Education at the University of New Mexico. Thank you so much to all of them. Y feliz Día de la Mujer a todas. My name is Cristina Bachina, and I'll be accompanying you until 10 p.m.